Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everybody, and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related program that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM. Or you can listen to it on our podcasts at wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz from any part of the world, from the North to the South Pole. What wonderful technology we have in today's world. We are supported by our sponsors, Peter and Susie McGuinness, the Hutt Valley Irish Club and the Wellington Irish Trust. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo, and with me in the studio doing the important technical job is Marion Grealis, who is also one of our presenters and does a great job in both fields. Well, we had some sad news this week. One of Wellington's Irish Society members for many years, Pat Scullin, died. On behalf of myself and Capital Irish, we would like to express our deepest sympathies to his wife Maureen, his son James, and daughters Catherine and Suzanne, and of course his grandchildren and extended family, also his three sisters, Josie, Margaret, and Vern. Pat will be mourned by many. He was a regular listener to our Capital Irish program. Rest in peace, Pat. You will be sadly missed by all who knew you. Pat was also president of the Wellington Irish Society for some years and served as a committee member for many years. He was also a very, very good accordion player, and I've got great memories of the Southern Cross Ceilidh Band with him and Seamus Hallisey back in the day. Also, Galway man Damien Brown has made history. He is the first to have rowed his boat called Coola Macree from New York to Galway, 112 days at sea. He received a hero's welcome in Galway on October the 4th. He is a retired professional rugby player, having played for Connacht and Leinster. An amazing achievement to row single-handed 3,400 nautical miles. Damien has also climbed and conquered Mount Everest. So what an amazing man. After being, other bits of news. This is our first program for the month of October. And there's a few things happened in October's. October 1995, the Irish poet Seamus Heaney from Derry won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Also in October 1969, Samuel Beckett won the Dublin playwright and writer won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Two other Irish writers have also won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Can you name them? Well, there were George Bernard Shaw and William Butler Yeats, also both born in Dublin. It's an amazing achievement for a small country like Ireland to have four Nobel Prize winners. Other famous Irish writers born in October were Oscar Wilde, October 1854, also a Dublin man. Patrick Kavanagh, writer and poet, born in October 1904. He was a County Monaghan man from Inishkeen. Brian Nolan, also known as Flann O'Brien and Miles Nocopoline, born October 1911 in Clonmel, County Tipperary. So that's interesting. Well, I think it is. Did you know that the famous Henry Ford's father, John Ford, immigrated to America after being evicted from his small farm in Ballinasquaty in County Cork? That was in 1847, during the Great Hunger years. Another famous American, for different reasons, the notorious bank robber and gunfighter, Billy the Kid. Well, his parents were also Irish immigrants, Michael and Catherine McCarty. So you see, not all Irish immigrants' children turned out to be all good. Did you know that Scotland's capital city, Edinburgh, was named after an Irish woman? Her name? Edanna, who founded a convent there in the 6th century. Conan Doyle, the creator of the famous detective Sherlock Holmes, although born in Scotland, was the son of Irish parents, Charles and Mary Doyle, Ní Foley was her maiden name. The famous Conan was the eldest of their 10 children. Did you know that the famous flag, the Union Jack, was first flown, not in England, but in Dublin, when? The 1st of January, 1801. Why? To celebrate the Act of Union. The Irish Rugby Union were so attached to that Union Jack, the Union Jack flag, I mean, that they continued to fly it at all rugby matches until 1932, 10 years after Ireland got its independence. And only then they dropped it because of political pressure. Anyway, I hope listeners find those little snippets of interest. They interest me, and I think, well, if I find them interesting, maybe someone out there, one of our listeners, will also find them of an interest. Time for a song. And what about Ireland's rugby's national song? Ireland's Call, sung here by Celtic Thunder.
Answer Ireland's call. young till we can fight no more, till our final requiem is spoken.
Interesting book picked up in the library actually a few weeks ago, and I found it interesting. It's by Fintan O'Toole, well-known Irish writer and columnist for the Irish Times. The book is called We Don't Know Ourselves. It covers the Ireland of his lifetime. Fintan was born in Dublin in 1958. He covers the changes from that year to the present. It's a social and historical story of Ireland, how the Catholic Church lost its moral authority because of its cover-up of child abuse, the political corruption within both major political parties, the sectarian war in the north, the lead-up to the Good Friday Agreement, the crash of the Celtic Tiger economy, the Irish taxpayer having to bail out the big banks, the referendums that legalised gay marriage and women's rights to abortion, all the characters of the past 50-odd years are in this book. Bishop Casey and Annie Murphy, Charlie Haughey and his properties and Cayman Island bank accounts, Bertie Hearn and his cash, mystery cash, Ben Dunn, political donations and drug addiction, Mary Robinson, the first woman president, and the reason she won against the establishment. You can get it, as I said, in the library. The Observer newspaper had an article recently on the overlooked Irish poet Patrick Kavanagh. Well, overlooked in England and outside Ireland, but certainly not overlooked in Ireland. The paper said he's overlooked like in comparison to William Butler Yeats and Seamus Heaney. That's in England and, you know, Australia and other countries, America even. Who is a favourite, Heaney is a favourite president, favourite writer for Joe Biden, the present American president. Anyway, in an attempt to give Kavanagh a higher profile outside his own country, there has been a new double album created with high-profile stars, including Bono, Liam Neeson, and even and others, reading Kavanagh's poems. The album is put out by Cladder Records. Even our president, Michael T. Higgins, recites one of Kavanagh's poems. And now I will play one of my favourite Kavanagh poems. It's Raglan Road, and it's put to music here and song by the late Luke Kelly. I will play it for you now.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way. And I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the door. Grafton Street in November we trip lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tarts, and I'm not making hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown. I gave her gifts of the mind, I gave her the secret sign that's known to the artists who have known the true gods of sound and stone. Word and tint without stint, I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of on a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking away from me so hurriedly. My reason must allow that I had loved not as I should, a creature made of clay. When the angels, the clay he'd lose, at the dawn of day.
The Irish Post had a story recently about famous Irish people that most of us don't know about. Do you know who Dr. James Barry was? Well, he was a famous surgeon who performed the first successful cesarean operation in Britain, where the mother and child survived. He was an army surgeon in the British Army, becoming Inspector General of Military Hospitals. He improved conditions for wounded soldiers, and it was only on his death that it was discovered that he was actually a woman, and he had kept his true identity secret. His real name was Margaret Buckley, born in County Cork in 1789. You got to realise women were not allowed to be doctors. It took another 50 years before women could be doctors in Britain. because after he died, which was in 1865. Did you also know that drinking chocolate was invented by a County Down man? And his name, Hans Sloane. And he invented it while he was in Jamaica, and he was introduced to cocoa as a drink, which was favoured by the locals. But Hans did not like the taste. So he found that by mixing it with milk, it was more palatable. And he brought his recipe back to England, and the rest is history. Made him famous. Sloane Square in Chelsea, in London, is named after him. But he died in 1753. But I think most of his money came actually from his wife's people who were slave owners. So there, just a little snippet you get sometime. Did you know that the first scientist to discover and explain why the sky is blue was a County Carlow man? And he died in 1893. Do you know who he was? He was John Tyndall. And he was famous in his time. Several climate change institutes are named after him. Another one I've never heard of is Edward Bransfield. And he was born in County Cork. And he was the first European to see the Antarctica. He mapped and named the South Shetland Islands, Bransfield Island, Mount Bransfield, Bransfield Rocks, and Bransfield Strait, all located in the Antarctica, have been named after him. Also a ship, RSS Bransfield, have been named in his honour. The Irish Post often has snippets of quite interesting information that you... Well, I hope that makes you smile. It did me. Recently, I was invited by the Irish Embassy to Victoria University for the launch of a book by Hemi Kelly. There was a whole lot of us invited. And Hemi Kelly is of Irish and Maori heritage. And it was the Maori version of Brian Friel's famous play, Translations. The Maori version was commissioned by the Irish Embassy as a gift to the Maori people, but also a gift to the New Zealand people, this is the first major Irish literary work available in the Maori language. I must say the evening was quite enjoyable. The play, if you don't know about it, that's Brian Friel's play, is set in the 1830s in Donegal, and it explores the traumatic effect on the local people at the time as the English language is imposed on the people, place names, etc., which the same colonial policies were imposed on the Maori people 20 to 30 years later here in New Zealand. And of course, also its negative consequences for the Maori people. Brian Friel, incidentally, wrote that play in 1980. I will say farewell for now, so tune in next week. There will be somebody else in the chair. I will go out with an old 18th century Irish tune called The Coolin, and it brings back a lot of memories to me, to be played by one of my uncles, Charlie Lennon, back in my childhood days. It's played here on the Illan Pipes by Mick O'Brien. Hope you enjoy it. I think it's a beautiful piece of music. Fare thee well until next time.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.